People across the Pacific are mourning the death of Tonga's Prime Minister Akilisi Pōhiwa. Mr. Pōhiwa was airlifted to hospital in Auckland on Wednesday with pneumonia and died Thursday morning. He'd spent the previous 2 weeks in hospital in Tonga. Earlier this year, he was medevaced to Auckland with a liver condition. The Tonga government said an operation for that was successful. Malakai Koloamatangi, who heads the Pacifica Centre at Massey University, is himself Tongan and has kept a close eye on the nation's politics over the years. He spoke with Don Wiseman about Mr. Pōhiwa's legacy.
Regardless of which camp you belong to in the Tongan political divide, someone passing away, and a prime minister, as always said, and of course he was a beacon of democracy, if I can put it that way, in the Pacific, and he was kind of a sort of reference point for those who want more democracy in the various islands of the Pacific. So yes, it's a sad day.
How important was that role as a beacon of democracy?
I think it was a very important role. I think we need to understand the place of Pōhiwa, particularly in the overall scheme of things. And remember, he became active, certainly for some Pacific countries, during their struggles for independence. He was a kind of a bridge between the old statesmen, ones who fought for decolonization, and the sort of new group who came after them. So, you know, he didn't belong to the Walter Lenis or the Michael Somare, Ratuk Sekamsesemara, and so on and so forth. But more importantly, he belonged to the group that came after to consolidate the gains of the decolonization period. So I think in that way, he was certainly not only a champion, but he was a person to be followed by others. Maybe people like Kushmao from East Timor and so on and so forth. So I think that's the role I think he played for a lot of people.
And he played it for such a long time, didn't he? And through so much of that time, and I guess right up to now, he's faced this opposition from the elite in Tonga.
Yeah, look, one thing that we cannot take away from Pōhiwa is the fact that I've never seen anyone persevere for that long for a single cause. I mean, before he came to Parliament in 1987 for the first time, he was known for his views, not necessarily sort of anti-royalist or anti-monarchy, but certainly for his views on being a Democrat or a person who was pushing for more democracy in Tonga. So he was very well known before he was elected to Parliament. And throughout his career, Akilisi clearly was the most prosecuted, not only MP, but individual person in the history of Tonga. And we've had colourful characters like that in the past, but nowhere near the extent to which Pōhiwa was prosecuted. And not only himself, but his family suffered, you know, his wife, his kids. You know, and he did say that, you know, their life as a family was dedicated to creating and seeing the pro-democracy and the democratization movement come to fruition in Tonga. So I think it was not only him, but the Pōhiwa family as a collective was willing to sacrifice such a lot to get more democracy in Tonga.
And then eventually, in 2014, he became Prime Minister, and he's been Prime Minister for 5 years, but you would have to say that he wasn't a good Prime Minister.
No, and that's part of the reason. He kept on being a political activist and a rebel, even though he was the Prime Minister. And I think sometimes he confused the roles. And, you know, there was nothing tangible to fight against because he was the establishment. So I think sometimes he forgot that. And I think it was so embedded in his psyche, you know, to be fighting for the common person, to be against the establishment, to the extent that, you know, he was maybe fighting against himself. And because of that, I think he wasn't as vigilant and did not proved to be the Prime Minister that he had hoped to be. And, this is not a unique to Tonga. Those who fought colonization and eventually became leaders themselves actually found it very difficult because they were, you know, their whole being, you know, was set up to fight something. And when you're Prime Minister, there's nothing actually to fight, nothing tangible. So I can understand why. And he needed to make the switch from, you know, from activist and perhaps rebel to being a Prime Minister, and I don't think he made that switch successfully.
Well, there are a number of younger people within his government. Yeah. We've got Samisi Sikh as the Deputy Prime Minister. Who do you think is likely to become the new leader?
Look, I think this is one of the problems that we have, and I've spoken out about the need to have a succession plan for when Pōhiwa is no longer there, because as you know, he was the glue that held everything together, you know, the support and those kinds of things for the pro-democracy movement. Sika is the Deputy Prime Minister at the moment, and I think he's doing a fair job at it, one that he was probably pushed into, and I think as a Prime Minister, I'm not quite sure whether he's ready to make the step up. There are, as you say, young people in his cabinet. But Martin Tapaluelu, the Mr. Police, is another example. He's been quite prominent recently in challenging some of the decisions by the royalist supporters. But there are two issues here. One is who would be prime minister, and the other issue, of course, is that what about the pro-democracy movement? And Bohiva personalized the movement to the extent that one cannot think of it without him. I think it's a bigger problem rather than who would be prime minister in Tonga. And for the time being, of course, there will be a by-election in his electorate. The last election, he was opposed quite vehemently by very strong candidates. And I'm not sure if we get someone who's not a pro-democracy supporter from his electorate, then it will become interesting because the numbers are finely balanced in parliament. And, you know, as someone who is not a pro-democracy supporter might just tip, you know, the balance the other way. So there are those other questions, but the country needs a leader at the moment, and of course the pro-democracy movement also needs a leader. We don't know. There will be stopgap measures, I'm guessing, but in the sort of mid to long term, you need someone who is quite strong.
Dr. Malakai Kolo Matangi from Massey University.